Soon after I had graduated from Bible college in my 20s, I was eager to join the workforce. I assumed it would be working in a church as a pastor, but when Honda announced that they were opening an auto plant near my community, I accepted a job with great pay and great benefits. Now, it was a stopgap opportunity in my mind, but life doesn't always work as planned. And 5 years later, I was still there. And it was monotonous work. It was the same task over and over and over. Some days I felt like I was selling my time for money. Research shows that millennials desire meaning in their work. So a lot of our 20s and 30s can relate to how I was feeling at the time. My Monday through Friday was feeling mind-numbing. We can sometimes lose our way when we lose our why. A few years ago, another car company coined a phrase, "The things we make, make us." In hindsight, as I look back at my experience with Honda, I realized that as I played a part in shaping new vehicles, God was shaping a new heart in me. While we're in a series called Faith in Work, Connecting Sunday Worship to Monday Work, and last Sunday, we saw that as we do our work well, we fulfill God's commandment to love our neighbor. And today we're going to look at how our work shapes our soul. Many of us have a natural mindset that we make our work, but we often overlook how our work makes us. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, the letter of Romans, gives us some instructions about how we are to approach our work. And I just want to set up, before we look at the chapter that we're going to read and focus on, I want to set this up just a little bit because I think it's relevant. Paul had just gone through the gospel and talking about the good news that humanity had turned away from God and they had found meaning and significance in created things. And this caused a distortion in humanity and destructive behavior. And as a result, humanity was intertwined with evil, and their destiny was death. But Paul had good news. The gospel news was that Jesus had come to give his life that they might have life. He turned everything upside down. And by Jesus dying as a sacrifice for them, they were given a new hope and a new destiny. Now, Paul's moving to practical application and saying, God has done this amazing thing for us, such great love for us. Let's respond to this life-giving news. And that's why he begins chapter 12 with the word so. Or in other translations, therefore, calling Roman Christians to respond to God's love, the sacrifice that Jesus had made. So please follow along with me as I read from the Message paraphrase of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. So, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize that he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Let's pray. Living God, thank you for being a God who shapes us through our everyday. We pray that you would give us insight from your word. Fill us so that we might be formed more into your likeness. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. In this passage, we see two commands from Paul. The first one is a negative command. Don't. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. The second is a positive command. Fix. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. As we reflect on these commands, we realize that work becomes the ideal context for becoming more like Jesus. We're going to consider how work shapes our soul. Firstly, by revealing who we are, and then by reshaping who we can become. Now, in the time when Paul was writing this letter, Rome was a city, a prominent Greek city, that was known for a couple of things. One was sexual immorality, and the other was idol worship. So Paul understood the sinfulness of humanity, and he also understood the power of God's grace to change lives. He was witnessing it in real time. Paul's first commandment is don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Now, not conforming to something can help reveal something in us. It can reveal something in us in our work. Work reveals who we are. What does it mean to fit into our culture without even thinking? There's a broader cultural context than just the specific work that we do that often shapes us, and not always for the better. Now, technology has its benefits, and I am a lover of technology. I love technology, and for many of us, we need technology for our work and to stay connected relationally. But there is a shadow side to technology as well. And I am an iPhone user, and there is a recent update that I received, and it is called Screen Time. Now, I see some heads nodding. Screen time lets you know how much time you've been spending on social networking, productivity, or entertainment. And they provide this visual graph, which is pretty snazzy, and it lets you know how you've been spending your time. Well, the first time I received this, I was shocked. I couldn't believe how much time I had been spending on the screen, on my iPhone, but particularly with social networking. Now, there's nothing wrong with being connected in social networking, but for me, it was not intentional. And I had drifted in the sense that I had gone with the cultural flow of always being connected. And I learned something about myself. I thought I was well-disciplined. I work out. I like to play the guitar. I like to spend time with my boys. I like nature. I love photography. But clearly, I wasn't paying attention. Now, there is something with screen time as well. It's called, this is not an Apple commercial, by the way, but it's called App Limits, and it actually allows you to limit your app time. So I have executed this, and I have made the decision. It's a small change, but but not to conform as much and not fall into the status quo. Now, work shapes our soul not only by revealing who we are, but also reshaping who we can become. Paul gives us a positive command when he instructs us to instead fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Paul provides us with an alternative from being conformed by our environment. He says to fix our attention on God. My wife Carla was raised as a nominal Catholic, and every single Sunday they would get in their car, they would drive to church, they would stand up and sing, they would sit down, they would kneel, they would pray, they'd take communion, they'd listen to the homily, they'd pray, they'd go home. But she didn't really see the correlation between Sunday worship and what was happening through Monday and Friday. She didn't move to the next command where Paul talks about fixing our attention on God so that you could be changed from the inside out. Sunday just wasn't connected to the choices made Monday to Friday. That's why she's so intentional as a mom, talking to her boys about the importance of Monday to Friday at school and that their friends matter and our neighborhood and that faith has everything to do between Monday and Friday and for them Saturday. How we behave beyond Sunday mornings really truly reveals who we are. And so Paul tells us that work shapes our soul by revealing who we are. It also reshapes who we can become. The word changed in the Greek is the same word from which we get the word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is a word that talks about changing from one form to another form, like a tadpole to a frog or a caterpillar to a butterfly. As God works through us, we are transformed. God wants to use our work to complete his work in us. Fixing your attention on God or renewing our mind is the means by which God transforms us. And Paul's words to the church in Philippi were these: if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Fixing your attention on God and engaging change can take courage. It can be upstream, living out faith, hope, and love, or pursuing virtues like justice, when our culture is flowing in the opposite direction. Modern-day philosopher Cornel West cautions us this way about conforming. Greatness is telling the truth and being courageous in pursuit of justice. The worst thing you can tell young people is to be successful but become well-adjusted to an unjust status quo, as opposed to being great and being maladjusted to an unjust status quo. Dr. West is really encouraging us to educate the younger generations to be aware of the dangers of normal. He is telling us to be great by choosing to be different if the norm is not good. If work is revealing areas we are conforming to the status quo, then there is an opportunity for us to grow. I've been confronted with my own fears and insecurities in my work. Work has often revealed who I am. I want to be marked by the fruits of the Spirit, And one of those fruits of the Spirit is peace. And peace has sometimes been a difficult thing for me to experience or to achieve. And I've done some heart search, some soul searching on this, and wondered, why is it? Why is it so difficult for me? And I've come to understand that part of the reason is I want you to like me. And I want to experience your approval. And that is something that is important to me. And this is something where I've experienced over time, is having an inner anxiety and a lack of peace in public speaking. It goes back to grade 8, the first time that I was to make a public presentation. Now, when I was in grade 8, I was an emotional bubble boy, which means I lived in my own world, and I was immensely shy. And so any kind of interaction took courage and was difficult. But I still had to follow the curriculum and make a presentation in grade 8. So I worked hard, I prepared and prepared, and then I got up and I said, today, my presentation is on... An eternity passed. I froze. I froze because I cared so much about my teacher, wanting to do well for him, being approved by my peers, that I froze in that moment. Over time, I've been able to take steps to get in front of people and to push through. In fact, in high school, I was the lead role in a play. And over time, I've been able to take steps. But you know, there's a difference between pushing through and making it happen, and really truly experiencing God's peace in our life. Peace goes against the flow. And while I want you to like me, I'm at peace that some of you just might not. So I can stand up, fixing my attention on God and focus on Him. God calls all of us to be a faithful presence of His love and presence in our workplaces. At times, we will need to swim upward as He forms us through our work. We've been currently engaging a theme with God and for others, and it's true, God is with us. But more than that, God is in us, which is such good news. Paul writes these words, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" So when we go to work every day, we are bringing a temple of God with us. As I shared with you, I worked on the auto production line, and there was a certain culture there of talk, and often it was lamenting about family life or talking really poorly about women or cursing and a lot of drinking. And in that context, fortunately, I had a strong a community around me, and often at times of work, I would pray and worship and sing in my mind. And I was able to walk with God in that space. Now, as I was prepared to be maladjusted to the status quo, over 3 years in, someone approached me, and it was one of the toughest guys online. He was mastering the art of Taekwondo, and he was a little bit intimidating. But he came up to me, and it was during a break, and he wanted to have a one-on-one conversation. And this is what I recollect that he said to me. "Sean, in 3 years, I've only heard you speak words of life and treat everyone with the highest regard. I want you to know that I respect you, and you've made me consider your God because I see your dedication. I see your life, And this is the part that just really connected with me. I just wanted you to know that from me. And then he walked off. Although it seems like a simple act to speak words of life, in that culture, it was upstream for me. And at the time, I wasn't doing it to get that type of response or affirmation, although I did appreciate it. I was doing out of whom I loved. Time with God had made it easier for me to non-conform. And I was fortunate to have an incredible example in my own life of not conforming to the status quo. My father was very successful in his field. He was a successful car salesman, and he loved his customers, and he was, in our city, the top-selling car salesman every single year for a couple of decades. And he was the kind of guy that relationships always came before any money-making opportunity. And he was very honest, which for car salesmen is against the stream, right? At least that's certainly a stereotype that we all understand. But he really was an honest salesperson and did well in his field. So much so that he was able to start his own car dealership, and it thrived for years. And then I remember he made space for us to have a coffee together. It was very intentional. And we're sitting there having a one-on-one conversation. And all of a sudden, his eyes well up, and he said to me this, "Son, I've lost it all. Everything. Bankruptcy." Even though his business was doing well, it wasn't good enough for the banks. They had called in his loan, and his dream was over. It was dead. Now, I was sitting there trying to formulate a response, and in that moment, as I was thinking, what can I say to my dad, he said to me, "But it's going to be all right, because I have Jesus, I have your mom, and I have you kids." He kept his attention on God during those dark and painful days, and he was able to continue to flourish in his field later. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the message, paraphrases the Apostle James' inspired words in this way. "I find it helpful when I think of God using our work to complete his work in us. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. When I look back on my life, I see this is true, that work is a gift. I saw my dad as a bright, shining star when tears were rolling down his face in that moment of loss and spiritual resilience. And I realized for my own self that it's been times of difficulty and pain, disruption, where God has done a work in me. Those times when my inadequacy has been inescapable, my spiritual growth has flourished." Jim Collins, author and lecturer on growth and leadership, has written these words, "For in the end, it is impossible to have a great life unless it is a meaningful life. And it is very difficult to have a meaningful life without meaningful work." When we look at our work, we often look at through the lens of personal fulfillment. But God wants our heart. He wants to use our work to complete his work in us. As a son, I found my dad embodied that kind of approach to his work. Faith, hope, and love were really markers of his approach. When I think of being transformed, I think of my dad's kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. They were work realities. I found spiritual practices are often helpful in helping us create space for God. to complete his work in us. They provide a framework for our relationship with Jesus to flourish. When I was on the auto production line, I would often be praying, meditating over scripture, and singing again within. But these practices helped me fall more in love with Jesus. I've come to realize that it's easier not to conform when you're being transformed. It's easier to stop going with the status quo when your attention is on God. And for me, one of the ways I'm able to do this is through the prayer of examine. And the prayer of examine is a prayer of reviewing your day. And it's a thankful reflection of your everyday work. And I reflect on my day giving thanks to God, reviewing my day, thinking of those times when I failed, and then asking for forgiveness. And then my favorite part of the examine is when I look to the next day with a sense of anticipation. And I think about the challenges and the opportunities that are before me, and how can I live well for God tomorrow? What a great way to end the day. It's been so life-giving for me. A transformative practice. It allows me to stand up before you without your approval, although I welcome it. I'm able to have my eyes fixed on Jesus. I love my work, and I really do believe I work with a world-class team. But I'm not driven so much anymore by a do-what-you-love ethic, as much as I'm motivated by a love-whom-I-do-it-for orientation. I've discovered that when I offer my work to God, even when it's mundane or painful, that it's always redemptive. God wants to use our work to complete his work in us. So whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad or a corporate executive or a student or a production line employee, a volunteer, or you're in a season of unemployment or retirement, this can apply to you. Spiritual practices like the prayer of examine can show you where you've been weak and where you've been strong. They can move you forward in your relationship with God and transform you at work. My father was transformed in a very different way. He was an extrovert and was energized by people. So deep spiritual friendships were so helpful to him in his transformative walk and work. And being rooted in the local church was a practice my father was very, very focused on and committed to. I'm an introvert with deep thoughts and big questions. For my dad, it wasn't the prayer of examine that transformed him. And for you, it might not be that as well. But it could be another practice that makes space for God and moves you forward in that whole aspect of fixing your attention on God so that he can change you. So what does this all mean for us, for each one of us? Let's circle back to the passage. There's an important part I don't want us to miss. Paul encouraged the Christians in Rome to place their lives before God as an offering. Now, the language is that of sacrificial ritual. You see, in the Hebrew scriptures, it was common to offer God animal sacrifices. He allowed the sacrifice of animals to act as a substitute, symbolically dying to cover the sins of God's people. So Paul's words are striking here because he's not asking for humanity, for our bodies to be sacrificed in a way that's final or in a way that introduces physical death. But he's asking for a living sacrifice. God is asking us to give ourselves fully. And that means offering our work to him as well. God wants to use our work to complete his work in us. Instead of actually dying, we are constantly surrendering to him. I've heard many preachers over the years say that the problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps getting off the altar. And isn't that true? We need to keep getting back on the altar because our human inclination is to get off. We need people and practices to help us do that, to help us be able to re-energize our commitment regularly. The good news is that God promises to complete his work in us. He wrote to the church in Philippi, "And I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." When I froze in grade 8, I had fallen off the altar. I was more focused on the approval of people than on God in that moment. And every time I step on this platform or the other platforms I've spoken on since grade 8, I have re-energized my commitment and I have placed myself back on the altar, a living sacrifice to God. God wants to use your work to complete his work in you. I have found my why. Do you know what it is? Do you know what I'm made for? Loving God. Loving God with all my heart and mind and soul. To be a living sacrifice. Yes, that's a great response. To be a living and loving sacrifice. And so were you. And so were you. Let's pray. In this passage, Paul was challenging the Christians in Rome to respond to God's love by showing him how much he was worth to them. He was calling them to worship, to become living sacrifices. God, we know you want to use our work to complete your work in us. Show us what you want to reveal to us through our work. Lord, help each one of us here today consider some practical ways we could fix our attention more on you this coming week. Help illuminate for us how we can connect our Sunday worship to our Monday work. Thank you, Father, for wanting to bring the best out of each one of us. Help us, living God, to get back on the altar together. We pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.